This is the Rain Report. Amateur radio, politics, and the law make for strange bedfellows. If you think about it, however, politics pervades every aspect of life. We radio amateurs need to be politically plugged in to our local community. So says John Schwartz, WA9AQN, a bankruptcy attorney from Springfield, Illinois.
In central Illinois, where I live, we have a population of about 100,000 people concentrated around the city of Springfield. We have a municipal government that has a permit requirement for a tower, but they can't remember when anybody ever applied for one. So if the subject comes up, my advice is don't ask, don't tell. And we have amateurs putting up towers in the parts of town where they're not limited by covenants and restrictions, who do not go pay the $20 fee for a permit because nobody down at City Hall would really know what to do with the $20 or what kind of forms to use, and they wouldn't start looking at these things that people in other parts of the country are now having to worry about. But I think the day is probably coming unless we can get our friends in Washington to make some definitive statements that protect us as amateur radio operators from the ignorance of local officials. That leaves me in a situation where my practice related to amateur radio has really been in negotiating for amateurs with developers and landlords and the application of covenants, conditions, and restrictions and the application of lease terms. And I can tell you that sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. My most recent experience with that involved a fellow who had gotten very excited about amateur radio, went out and pursued his novice license and got his novice license and started upgrading and became aware of the fact that in his subdivision, television antennas were not permitted. End of subject. So he went and circulated among some 160 homeowners in the subdivision a petition to change the covenants and conditions to permit him to put up an amateur radio antenna. And that stirred up the hornet's nest. It was a useless act. And we let almost a year go by so that the memory of that would die down. At that point, decided we're going to put up a very small antenna. Just a vertical pole that he could pop a little vertical, 5/8 wave vertical on for 2 meters. And he did that. Suddenly the memories were jarred, and a number of neighbors complained, and we then ended up with a meeting with the Architectural Control Committee for that subdivision. And how this thing was resolved was we got the 2-meter antenna up in the air and had an agreement that permitted this poor fellow to leave the 2-meter antenna there. He couldn't do anything other than leave his little vertical stuck up in the air for some period of time, probably 2-3 years from now. We'll go in and we'll ask them to do a little bit more for us if he's still living there. But the argument that I used successfully with the developer and the Architectural Control Committee was that you really intended to prohibit television antennas and you've got 160 homes and you wouldn't want 160 poles stuck up in the air. But look at how many amateur radio operators there are across the United States, and we took it on a statistical basis and we said it isn't likely that you're going to get even one more request to put up an antenna in this subdivision, and he said, okay, leave it there. And that was it. So you can see that things are real exciting in central Illinois. But we understand that law is politics. Amateur radio operators need to understand that law is politics, and politics is local, and that was the heart of Tip O'Neill's belief, and it should be the heart of the belief of every amateur radio operator in this country. You have to know your neighbors, and that means you have to know who your neighbors are voting for and who gets voted in, and you have to know who makes these decisions. Who are the administrators? It's fine to know who writes the permits, but you got to know the people on the city council. Through no slight accident, there was a group of us in central Illinois who managed to make amateur radio interesting enough that our local city attorney enrolled in the novice class and got licensed. And that's one of the kinds of steps that should be taken to protect yourselves, is to put amateur radio in high places. So we have a former city attorney now who is a very happy amateur radio operator, and we maintain very good political relationships with our city council, with the zoning department, with the legal department of the city, when we really don't need it because nobody's threatened us yet. But a lot of these people know who we are, and they know what we do, and they know what an important service we can provide. That, to me, is an essential element of protecting amateur radio and the building the legal environment for you to protect yourselves. It's all well and good if you're in a situation where you're like me, you don't have any ordinances to contend with, but when you do have administrative bodies that are doing the kinds of things that we see coming off of the coasts and out of the bigger metropolitan areas like Chicago, it takes a more concentrated effort to develop friends and friendships in the high places. It's a good thing if you can develop friendships before you need them, whether it's on an architectural control committee or whether it's on the city council. Other than that, the interference problem is one that we have some experience with in our area, and that too is handled more with negotiation, neighborly relations, than through the legal process. The one time we've seen a case litigated that involved litigation, the amateur lost, but he won. He lost in a legal sense. The ruling from the court went against him on the basis of the lease that he had signed, and the lease promised that he would cause no interference or disruption to his neighbors. There was no mention of amateur radio in there, but that was a phrase, of course, that the courts bit upon and said it doesn't matter what the technology is, your operation created the interference, so away we went. For some reason or other, I haven't the slightest idea why or how it came about. There was a negotiated settlement of that case after we had lost, and the landlord ended up paying the amateur's attorney's fees. But that's the situation that many of us are dealing with in places that are more comfortable for amateur radio. But I think the message is clear that the kinds of concerns that are being expressed by amateurs who are being forced to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in litigation in other parts of the country, that atmosphere is going to spread unless we get the FCC to do something.
John Schwartz, WA9AQN, a bankruptcy attorney from Springfield, Illinois. As excerpted from his talk, given during the Amateur Radio and the Law Forum, held during the 1996 Dayton Convention, Dayton, Ohio. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter at hashtag The Rain Report and on the web at www.therainreport.com.